We started processing export hay about 9 years ago. We got a used an older machine then. We upgraded last year to this new one, which is probably three times the capacity. The old one was pretty much worn out. We expanded the shed to cater for it. Probably taken 6 or 7 months to get it up to almost the capacity where we'd like it to be.
Now, you grow hay on this property, but how much hay are you sourcing from elsewhere? What percentage of what you process?
When we do a full season, which we haven't done yet with this machine, we'll probably grow around about a half of what we need. That's hay and straw. The remainder we'll have to source from elsewhere, or alternatively we'll do contract pressing for other exporters.
Are you nervous about being able to get your hands on that amount of hay from elsewhere?
Yes, we are. It's been a problem for a little while, and the amount of pressing capacity that's available in WA now, there's a few buyers out there in the market, and obviously the oat price is high at the moment, and we're not sure how long that'll remain, but that makes it difficult. And the other buyers obviously want to fill their orders, so it's good for the growers to have the competition, but it'll make it a bit hard for us for a little while. We need to promote the benefits of growing hay. There's obvious agronomic benefits with weed control, and then just grow the industry. It's it's one of the few agricultural commodities that's value added before it's exported, and it's good for local communities with jobs and extra activity. So, yeah, we like to get out there and try and grow the supply base, and it's good. That'll be good for everyone.
Now, there is more risk, of course, in growing hay than harvesting oats. So, how can you go about promoting hay and getting growers locally excited about considering hay as an option over other cereals and crops?
Some growers will grow some hay irrespective for reasons other than the financial returns, but most years hay compares as well or better than pretty much all the other alternatives. But I guess the bottom line is that to account for the extra risk, there's got to be enough financial return to motivate them to grow hay. As each year goes by, there's more of people having more problems with herbicide resistance, and this is a pretty effective tool in dealing with that. And yeah, like I said, when the oat price is high, that's a bit difficult, but now the exchange rate bounces around a bit, but it's improved a bit in the last 18 months or so, and hopefully it'll keep coming down, and that'll help as well.
Gilmac is constructing a fairly substantial hay processing plant not too far from here in Wagen. How do you see that close by competition affecting your business?
I'm sure that it will have an impact on our ability to supply or to acquire hay. It'll affect us a bit for the first year or two, but hopefully we can establish a grower base, all of us, all the different exporters, and get enough people growing enough hay to satisfy us all.
Would you have still gone ahead with this expansion if you knew what you know now about Gilmac and their operations down the road?
Yeah, I think so. I've got a lot of confidence about the future of the industry. The market for Australian oat and hay in the world is huge. You know, Southeast Asia and China and the Middle East. So finding buyers is not a problem, but we still would have gone ahead because, if you can't acquire hay from other growers, there's other options like getting more involved in the process of supplying. Just having the extra processing facilities around and the interest that generates around the place. Yeah, I think people who hadn't seriously thought about hay before will probably consider it in their rotation. As each year goes by, we have better technology available for testing the hay, processing, transport. So the industries are in a better state than it was years ago. Like I say, there's a big demand out there in the world for our hay, so we've just got to meet all those challenges and do our best.